You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Christmas Weaver, Tyler.
I'm Gordy, the Daily Herald's secret soft gingerbread boy. Thanks, Nathan the Scott.
It's a good one.
Very festive, everyone. Happy Knifemas.
Half-be Knifemas.
This is a rare recording releasing on the Christmas day, so we need to have a very appropriate folktale to go with it.
Like G-rated?
Nah.
Is that what appropriate means?
Do those exist?
Not after we're done with them. So what do we do on the show, Gordy?
Carmen's going to read a weird fairy tale or piece of folklore to me and Tyler. She has chosen one that we have never heard before. Hopefully it's one some of you have never heard before. And as we go through it, we're going to try to set all the plot holes right and come out at the end with a story that makes more sense.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so this one is going to be a two-parter episode because it's a long one and we've got some travel going on because holidays.
That's how that works.
So we are going to be reading today from The Nutcracker and the Mouse King, the sub-story within it that tells the origin of the Nutcracker, entitled The Story of the Hard Nut.
This is the Nutcracker Ballet.
This is the story that the ballet is based on.
By Tolstoy.
This is by E.T.A. Hoffman.
Who wrote the ballet? Some Russian dude.
And translated by William Makepeace Thackeray.
Dostoevsky.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, sounds right.
Rasputin.
Rasputin loved Putin. Music and dance.
Other Russians. It's a good goof.
So this was suggested to us by Merzi. So thank you, Merzi.
Thank you.
And sourced from germanstories.vcu.edu. All right, so would you like this very holiday-appropriate story of the hard nut?
I love origin stories and hard nuts.
Nobody cut this out of the episode when I say I love hard nuts. Don't isolate that and make it a ringtone or something. That'd be pretty weird.
Yeah, definitely don't do that. Wink.
Definitely don't Skrillex that.
Oh, yeah. Don't dubstep remix.
Everybody loves hard nuts, right?
Give him more material, Gordy.
It's grim.
Story of the Hard Nut. Pearly Pat's mother was the wife of a king.
I don't care. I don't know these people.
Good for her, I guess.
She was therefore a queen.
That's, yeah.
And that
made property.
Pearly Pat a princess by birth, with a very princess name.
Pearly Pat.
Of Pearly Pat.
It's not good branding for the royal family.
Isn't it?
It is not. It sounds like the name that you would find on a back episode of the Toddlers and Tiaras style pageant.
I was going to say Entourage.
Well, it's their crossover episode.
Yeah. Toddlers and Entourages? Tiaras? I don't know.
Entourage and Tiaras.
Yeah, there you go.
The king was beside himself with joy when she was born and danced around, hopping on one leg and singing, "Was anything ever so beautiful as my little Pearly Patkin?"
What's the name?
The mom is doing this?
Is no, the this name is the Pearly Patkin?
Or the dad?
And it's just the nickname is Pearly Pat?
They go back and forth on these. So she gets two names.
Okay.
Thus depriving another princess in a different story of a name.
They're getting greedy.
They are getting greedy. However, they are kind of picking the garbage trash of names, so maybe this was just like the budget leftover names.
Right. It is simultaneously like delicacy and trash. I don't know how they pulled it off.
Like a weird hors d'oeuvre made of organ meat.
It's incredibly vain and pitiable at the same time.
So all the staff and courtiers and lords and whoever is around a castle for whatever reason imitate the king's hopping on one leg and all sing No Never.
So what? Musical.
Yeah, but it's like a one-legged hop musical. Choreographer does not know a lot of dance moves.
Sounds like a good show.
I mean, I kind of want to see this film just because I love this king.
I hope there's no score.
Because he is or this backing level music. Of
a cappella.
I'm gonna spoil this a little bit. He is this level of fucking intense about every little thing in his life.
That's a good thing. That's a good quality in a king.
It's not.
Is high intensity.
High intensity, it's fine for 5 minutes at a time.
In fact, it is impossible, as long as the world lasts, that a princess get born who is more beautiful than Pirlipat. So all those other stories talk about having the prettiest girl in them, fucking liars.
Liars!
All of them. Because Pirlipat had a face that looked like a web of the most beautiful lilies and roses.
A face should not appear that way. I'm gonna come out and say it.
Whatever. Why not? Who cares anymore? Look, your face looks like whatever it looks like. If it's a web of, what was it, roses and...
Lilies?
Pits of something.
Hard nuts.
Hard nuts. Your face is hard nuts.
I mean, I just like imagine a weird pattern just sort of like webbed on there in Photoshop.
Sticking out in veins.
I mean, I imagine the Demogorgon.
Beautiful.
Like, it just splits open and splays out.
like a lily.
Predator.
Like a salamander of sorts.
She had the eyes of the brightest blue, and her hair was like threads of gold. It's like the Demogorgon in a wig.
They're threads of gold, so I imagine it's just like patchy, stringy. Just clumps
but
of hair.
Very shimmery.
It's her club look.
She was also born with two rows of pearly teeth.
Wow.
She was born with teeth?
Yeah.
Great.
Like adult teeth?
I mean, I think they're still baby teeth.
Okay.
But
so she doesn't look like a horse. On top of her weird flower face and stringy clump hair.
She's an infant still?
She yes.
She is a newborn.
Newborn.
Does change things. So I don't know why I was picturing like what a grown person would look like.
Yeah, I don't
like
know why you
that.
Would imagine that. That's never happened in these stories before.
Nah, she's a newborn, still like squelchy and screamy.
Do you send her back? Maybe
this one ain't human.
There's a doctor that puts the babies back in.
A doctor.
There's just one. He travels.
There's only one I know of, and it's pretty expensive, but they will just put the baby back in there and it turns into a new one if you wait another 9 months.
You
but
just
it's
gotta
like.
You gotta let it cook a little bit.
You just kind of roll the dice again. Be like, nope, this is not what I hoped for. Let's just try it again. Sort of reconfigure.
Mary Berry just pokes the baby and says, this dough is raw.
This is a soggy bottom, and it'll have one of those for 2 years.
Not scrumptious.
No. Not usually. Not babies.
2 hours after her birth, she bit the Lord Chancellor's thumb so hard that he cried, oh, Gemini!
With her horse teeth.
But some people think he cried, oh, dear! And for some reason, even to this day, people argue about this particular exclamation.
Those are different sounding words.
Yeah. The story felt it necessary to tell us that people still argue about this.
I have a more pressing question.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was he?
Chancellor.
What was the Chancellor's, like, grubby-ass thumb doing near that baby's face?
Doing like the coochie-coochie-coo or the scoochie-scoochie-scoochie.
Get your scoochie little digits out of there.
It's just inspecting.
She bit him on the thumb, and all of the kingdom declared then that she is the wittiest, sharpest, cleverest little girl, as well as the most beautiful. So that was your criteria for wit.
For wit.
And cleverness. How good your horse teeth.
Doesn't even need a type 5. She goes up to open mic night and bites somebody.
Bites
to
the microphone.
Raucous applause.
The only person not delighted by her whole existence was the queen, who birthed her.
Well, yeah, she's a horrible monster, as we've described, and it was not, terribly painful.
I would not be happy after birthing anything. Whether it was in good shape or not, I would not be in a good mood.
Probably not right away.
No.
She was anxious and dispirited, and for some reason kept Pearly Pat's cradle very strictly guarded. She not only had the traditional guards at the door, she had two nurses who sat by the cradle at all times, and six nurses who were scattered about the room, each of them with a giant tomcat in her lap that she had to keep petting and entertaining so it would stay awake through the night.
So you have a room full of sleep-deprived cats and women.
Yes. Surrounding a screaming Demogorgon in a wig.
Merry Christmas.
Is this still a ballet? Are they dancing?
It is beautiful.
It is
captivating.
It is something I might have to stop and watch and observe if I passed by it. So in that way, yeah, I guess it's good art.
This is the Christmas special Netflix is missing.
Is that what art is? It's just something that you just kind of have to stop and look at?
Whether you like it or not, yes.
It's like a crash on the highway.
It's got to make an emotional response in some way, and that emotional response can be, ugh.
Sure, yes. People who do pee-pee poo-poos on their canvases do. It's real gross, but they do it.
And they get articles in it, which why, like, badgers having tea have not had, so I guess good on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now, my dear little children, Gordy and Tyler.
No.
I'm a grown-ass man.
It is impossible.
Older than all of you.
I pay taxes.
It is impossible that the two of you should know why she took all these precautions, but I'm sure you could venture a wild guess.
I take once-a-day vitamins.
Star-Lord was coming to steal her.
All right.
It's impossible to what?
Guess why the queen took all these precautions.
She's a state secret because she's like a robot mech. Queen intends to pilot.
Both wrong children. So now I will tell you the tale within the tale within the tale.
No, it's too much.
Are we doing Osmosis Jones and the baby? Well, how deep are we going?
We're going deep into history.
Oh, Osmosis Jones in the book.
Yeah. We're going straight into the book veins.
That's how I say read. I'm going to Osmosis Jones this book.
Get my brain right in those book's neurons.
You just eat it?
I imagine every character is David Hyde Pierce.
You don't do that just for books anyway?
No, that's what I mean. Only for books.
I do that for every book.
It happened that once upon a time, there were many kings and princesses assembled at court of Pearly Pat's father, and their arrival was celebrated with tournaments and plays and balls and the normal things you do to entertain royalty who have left their playpen for a different playpen.
Kings and princesses.
Yeah, that's it. No queens or princes.
Well, they went to a different playpen.
Yeah. It was a special invite.
It was Mommy Sunday.
Daddy-daughter dances at this guy's kingdom.
Exactly.
And the king decided that he would like to show how rich he is.
Yeah.
And his way of doing this was to throw an astonishing feast for everybody.
Yeah, it's pretty standard.
So he privately sent for the upper court cook master and ordered the upper court astronomer to work together and fix a date for a general pig killing when the stars align correctly for all the pigs to bleed.
What do the stars care?
Why the pigs bleeding? Why?
Did they want the stars to not look?
Yeah, they want the stars to be busy that day so that they can kill an upsetting number of pigs. So, yeah, a fixed a time for a general pig killing and universal sausage making.
Yeah.
That's the lesser known Universal Studios. And then once he had sent these orders for them to figure this out, and I guess got a date back from them, he jumped into his carriage and called on all the kings and queens to ask them to come eat a little mutton dinner with him, so that when they got there it was actually a mountain of pigs, they would be pleasantly surprised.
I don't know that I would be. Given that information. Like, when you're expecting something, you start to want that thing.
Right.
Especially in the context of food.
You would like that old sheep meat.
I don't want old sheep meat.
Like, if you offer me pizza, and I show up and there's filet mignon... I will throw it in your face.
Give me the pepperoni.
And I'll call Domino's myself.
Yeah, you got to get what you're promised. And that's just true for everything.
I will avoid the gnawn.
The what?
The filet mignon.
The mignon.
So he goes home to the queen and he says, "You already know the partiality I entertain for sausages."
Good.
Queen knew perfectly well where he was going with this, which was...
Is it the downstairs sausage?
Yes, this is a story of sausages and nuts.
of big sausages and hard nuts.
Merry Christmas.
Merry, yeah.
The queen knew perfectly well that he wanted her, as she'd often done before, to superintend sausage making. And this is how he coyly asks her to go to the kitchen, your royal highness.
Just to watch?
To watch sausages?
To make sure they're done to his exacting sausage standards.
I mean, yeah, you gotta grill each quadrant once.
Yeah, Gordy's the master sausage cooker here.
Or it's no good. You do it twice and it's burned. You knock it off into the water, no good. Start the level over.
So the First Lord of the Treasury was obliged to hand out the golden sausage pot and silver saucepans.
You gotta wait till you start having to rotate sausages, mm-hmm. and it's just a nightmare from that point forward.
I don't know that a golden pan is that effective at cooking anything.
No.
It's just
ostentatious.
It is. I mean, at what temperature does gold melt?
Sausage temperature.
Is it? Like, it's not a lot.
It's a fairly delicate metal as they go.
I mean, you can bend gold.
Yeah.
Like, just with your hands.
Maybe he likes, like, gold flecks in his sausage.
It makes him feel even more regal.
Makes his guts feel good.
He is throwing this party to show how rich he is, and if his sausage is glittering with little bits of gold pan in them.
Yeah, I mean, just serve them on gold plates or whatever.
I'm sure he is going to also.
Fire them out of a t-shirt cannon.
They made a large fire of sandalwood, which I guess is an expensive wood, and then the queen put on her...
Are they going to tell people that afterwards? Or are they just blowing through cash? Like, nobody's going to know or care that it was sandalwood sausage.
I mean, unless it...
Affects the flavor?
Yeah, unless it, like... Because, I mean...
It can't affect it more than the gold pan.
No, I would guess that the gold melting into it probably overrides that. But, I mean, if you put...
Overrides the smokiness.
But, like, if aging wine or whiskey,
yeah.
Like, the wood of the barrel does matter.
Sure.
So it's... I don't know.
In this case, it'd probably be smoking the sausages.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely, like a cherry wood versus an apple wood, does have a very different flavor. I don't know that sandalwood is good for eating. It's not been recommended in any of the smoking recipes I've seen.
Well, that's because it's expensive and the internet knows that you're a poor.
The internet does know that intimately. It just assumes...
It won't even suggest it.
If you're on the internet yourself, you're a poor. Because if you're a rich, someone else Googles for you.
That's what Ask Jeeves is there for, right?
Yeah, your own web browser butler.
For people who just needed to feel rich.
They don't even sell sandalwood on the real internet. You gotta go to the deep web.
The queen put on her damask pinafore, which is also just ostentatious. Probably doesn't clean very well. And soon the sausage soup was steaming and boiling in the kettle.
What does this have to do with the baby?
This is the backstory for why the baby is in a room full of sleep-deprived nurses and cats.
Yeah, is it? We're talking about smoking pigs.
How are these stories related to each other again?
This is the backstory for why there are cats in the baby room.
Okay. There, you can cut stuff out of your story.
An alarming level of detail.
You don't have to include... Here's a tip for writers... You can just say there are cats in the room and nobody's going to question it. Like, that's fine. You don't have to spend time justifying that.
If later on in the story, the words cat and sausage are more than five words apart, this is all useless. They are unrelated.
The smell of the sausage penetrated as far as the Privy Council chamber, and the king was seized with such delight he couldn't stand it. Cut the meeting short with his lords or whatever, excused himself.
I don't know, do a war. I have to go get sausage.
Jumped over the table and just vaulted his way out of there.
Yabba dabba doo!
Ran full speed to the kitchen, kissed the queen square on the lips, stirred the sausage with his golden king scepter, and then return to
the downstairs sausage.
And then return to the Privy Council chamber in a contented state of mind. So he's just so excited about the concept of sausage that he had to go help minimally with its construction. He didn't even taste anything.
Well, he wanted
anything
to take credit.
Yeah, but now he's good. Like, he's...
I did it!
He saw how the sausages are made, and he's very pleased about it.
That's the only time that's ever happened. Someone has found out how, and they've been like, oh yeah, this is good.
Into it.
Love this.
Tell me more.
The queen had come to the point in sausage making when the bacon was cut into little bits and roasted on little silver spits. You guys know that part.
I love that part. It's my favorite part. Tell me in excruciating detail more about that part.
You know that bit that goes into Johnsonville?
Say it again.
There's a good Hebrew national. Well, those would not involve bacon.
Not typically.
Maybe cow bacon.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, so the ladies of honor were like, all right, this is the queen's private time. So they left the kitchen.
Why is it private why?
The queen was confident in herself and considerate of her husband, and she wanted to handle this very important part of the sausage making alone.
Gross.
Gave them time to go train cats.
As her bacon began to roast, she heard a little whispering voice asking, "Sister, I am a queen as well. Give me some roasted bacon too."
Nah, piss off. one queen in this house.
Shut up, ghost. This is delicate work.
And the queen...
I can't cut the wrong wire.
I mean, they will become toxic if you cook too many metals into them. So, like, there is a point where it becomes fatal.
There's a delicate balance of big to metal that you want in sausage. That much is true.
Yeah, like, I don't know what the line is. It's probably below 50, right? Like, if a sausage is 50% metal, that's probably going to go down pretty bad.
It will, yeah, it's going to go down rough.
I would say 10. 10, if it's more than 10%, mm-hmm. Like if it's 10.01% metal, you're in trouble.
Well, she hears this voice, and she knows that it is Mrs. Mouse Rinks talking.
Mrs. Mouse Rinks.
I can't entertain new characters at this stage.
Mrs. Mouse what?
Rinks. Like
Rinks?
Like a skating rink.
Mouse Rinks. Yes. Is it one word?
Yes.
Mouse Rinks.
Are there going to be a lot of new characters showing up?
Mrs. Mouse Rinks.
A few.
I need to jettison some. I'm just going to start purging characters to make room.
Pearly Pat seems superfluous.
I don't remember who was in the beginning. It's this queen and Mrs. Mouse Rinks.
We might as well have just started recording.
Mrs. Mouse Rinks had lived a long time in the palace, declaring that she was a relation of the king's and therefore a queen, and she had a great number of attendants and courtiers underground, because she is, in fact, a mouse.
Yeah?
The queen...
Where's your fucking invite?
The queen was a good-natured woman, and while she did not acknowledge Mrs. Mouse Rinks as a queen or a relation, because she's a mouse...
Uh-huh.
She could not begrudge her some bacon on this holiday, unknown what the holiday is.
Knifemas.
So, I guess Knifemas. So she does invite her out to partake of some.
Just to be clear, I don't think you're a queen, but here's some bacon.
You're no relative of mine, defo not royalty, but have some pig fat. So Mrs. Mouse Rinks starts eating one piece after the other until the queen was very tired of her whole deal. And then came all of her relations and her 7 ugly sons. And they nibbled all over the bacon, and the queen was so frightened that she couldn't be bothered to drive them away.
Okay.
She was frozen in fear. One mouse good, 7 plus relations.
7 ugly mice.
Very terrifying. Luckily, the first lady of the bedchamber happened to come in while there was still a little bit of bacon left, and she drove all the mice away.
Saved it in the nick of time.
Yeah, she does bedchamber work. She's not afraid of anything.
My brain just keeps detecting, like, a pattern of information that's not gonna matter, and I'm having a really hard time encoding it.
But Gordy, all of those mice now have tetanus.
Like this is
gonna be vital to Pearly Pat's story.
This is a thing that I do where sometimes my brain's just like, this does not sound important, and I'll really just screen it out, and it'll decide like we don't have to remember this. This is nothing, and I'll just kind of listen for like keywords that tell me when to tune back in.
Once she had chased the mice away, she sent to the court mathematician. Come divide what was left of the bacon equally among all the sausages. So it had like someone in there doing equations on one of those like clear boards with the expo marker. And then dividing the bacon is a very tense scene with a lot of music.
He was not doing equations. He was just doing Sesame Street.
Yeah, but it's done with the intensity of the scientist doing the equations to make, I don't know, the avatar beasts work in this atmosphere. Look, guys, I don't think you understand how fucking important these sausages are.
It's been made clear.
Has it?
I feel like we could move on from the sausage.
No, we can't.
I would like to hear about any other event in these people's lives.
It's all about the sausages.
It's all about the sausages, baby.
Sausages and nuts. That's what this story is about.
What's that song? All About the Benjamins.
Yeah.
And then All About the Pentiums by Weird Al.
Yeah. So this is the sausage chapter, and we'll get to the nuts in a little bit. Gotta work your way past the sausage
is nuts
to
part
get to
two.
The nuts.
Because I'll just take a nap.
I'm just scanning for the word nut.
Drums and trumpets then sounded, and all of the fancy people who'd been invited show up in glittering garments and fancy coaches to come to the royal sausage party.
I haven't heard the word nut yet.
The king received them with politeness, seated himself with his scepter and crown at the head of the table, and they all enjoyed the first course, which is polonaise, a very large kind of sausage. And as
the
they
second
were,
course was and, sausage.
As they were eating it, they remarked that the king was growing paler and paler, his eyes raised to heaven, breast heaving with sighs, and he seemed to be agitated by a deep and inward sorrow.
That sounds like a Heimlich is required.
To get what out?
Or metal.
Sausage.
Metal poisoning.
Sorry, that's not the word I was looking for.
Then the next course is blood puddings, which is a different kind of sausage.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's okay.
And it is good. I like it a lot.
It's maybe an acquired taste.
I like it.
I do like it. Now, man, an Irish breakfast is the way to start the day.
I found a source for blood puddings, and I have been meaning to get over there, and so we could have an Irish breakfast for dinner at some point.
There's got to be a place that serves those, right?
That serves them? I haven't found, but I found where to like buy the sausage itself so that we can make it.
Like there's got to be a restaurant somewhere in this city that serves this.
There are a lot of restaurants that claim to be Irish, but they just sell burgers.
Well.
And Guinness.
Yeah. I mean, Guinness is a phenomenon.
So when the blood puddings came on, the king fell back in his chair, groaning, moaning, sighing, and crying. Everyone stood up in a panic. The physician tried in vain to take his pulse, but an unknown grief had taken possession of him.
Tried in vain?
Yeah.
Is he just too squirmy?
I guess so.
He's throwing bows?
He's just too sad to have a pulse.
It's a lot of effort some days. You wake up and you're just like, I don't know that I want to go through with all the blood pumping.
How fully dressed is the king?
He's dressed to the nines.
Did
he
his
is
mom
all the way
get
to
his
scepter
shirt on,
and towel?
Or did he run out before she could?
No, he's a hundo dressed. He wanted to show how rich he was, so he's probably wearing all of his clothes at once.
Did he pop all the collars?
Yes. And he has all of his king bling on.
Got those 14 pop collars at once. I mean, I can't think of a worse trend in clothing than the popped collar. It was a pretty bad phase for a while.
At last, after several violent remedies had been applied to the king, such as burning feathers under his nose.
Punching to death.
He came to himself, almost inaudibly gasped the words, "Too little bacon."
Was this sponsored by Reddit? Are we getting paid for this? By the Bacon Council or something?
So this king has had a full panic attack about a lack of bacon in his sausage dishes. So the queen throws herself in despair at his feet.
Mice did it!
And said, "Oh, my poor, unlucky royal husband, what sorrows have you had to endure? But see the guilty one at your feet. Strike, strike, and spare not. It was Mrs. Mouserinks and her sons and relations who ate it." And then she fainted.
Go to war with the Mice King.
So these are the sausages that do start an all-out war with mice.
So and this is going to lead back to cats.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I mean, I know. I feel like... I feel like we all know why there are cats in that room. We are just dancing around it for an hour and a half talking about bacon and pigs.
The king then arose in a violent passion, probably like upsetting his wife who's been fainted, like not paying any attention to her.
Yeah, he fully headbutts her out of the way.
And he asked the lady of the bedchamber to explain the whole matter to him. She says what she knows, which is, yeah, there were mice.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, I swear vengeance on Mrs. Mouse Rinks and her family for eating my sausage bacon.
An oath of enmity.
Yes.
On mouse kind.
Then he calls upon his Lord Chancellor to institute a suit against Mrs. Mouse Rinks.
Bring them to court.
To confiscate the whole of her property.
How does this relate to everything else?
Gordy.
I would like you to let go of that and just enjoy this king's sausage tantrum for what it is.
I was promised a connection and I want it.
I mean, it's so evident, though.
Ken,
I mean,
we have to work our way up the sausage to get to the nuts.
I mean, it is mice, cats. Yeah. Cool.
They hate mice.
Yeah.
They get into some beef with mice.
Yeah.
And then they have cats present because they're worried that the mice are going to do weird shit to their fucking dragon daughter.
Yeah. That,
with
Tyler,
horse teeth.
Tyler, you just did a summary there. and that's the information that I need.
The king realized the court order to evict might not actually prevent her from eating his bacon in the future.
True. Mice.
So he called upon his court machine and watchmaker, who promised to create such devices to expel them from the palace forever.
Some sort of a trap, but for mice.
So now we start the movie Mousetrap.
He calls forth Nathan Lane.
Tinkers with some things and uses roasted bacon as bait. Mrs. Mouse Rinks isn't an idiot, so she knows, like, this is a bait to kill. And she tries to tell all of her relations and sons, but they are idiots.
And ugly.
And ugly. And one by one, all of them are murdered.
I wish I cared.
The court rejoiced at the death of many mice. But
yeah,
the queen
okay.
was sorrowful because she knows okay. Mrs. Mouse Rinks' disposition. And
yeah.
she knows that this mouse will never allow the murder of her sons and relations to go unrevenged.
Should have gotten her, too.
So you just have to watch out for pearly pat traps.
with fingers what? As bait.
What is that? What does that look like?
Well, it's just, it is a whole chancellor with like a giant steel trap around him.
It's a box with a stick on it and
he's
a chancellor
hanging. He's just wiggling
hanging.
His thumb.
What is the bait?
To bait the baby to bite it again.
Just a thumb?
Yeah, mm-hmm. chancellor thumb.
Big thumb toy.
One day while the queen was cooking tripe for the king, which was another favorite food of his, Mrs. Mouse Rinks appeared and said, "You murdered my sons and relations, so take good care that the Mouse Queen doesn't bite your little princess in two."
Is she the only mouse left?
Take care. Yes. She's apparently like a wizard mouse.
Every other mouse was murdered.
Yes, but she will bite this princess in two. And the queen is very concerned about this. So much so that she drops the tripe in the fire. And for the second time, Mrs. Mouse Rinks spoiled the dish that the king liked. And he is very pissed off about
Whoa!
It. Another dinner gone. So now you know the story of why the queen took
oh
such
my
care
God.
Of Princess Pearly Patkin. Because she was worried a mouse would bite her to death.
Just say that.
Yeah, this rewrite's going to be brutal.
The court astronomer, who was also the upper astrologer and the stargazer, had discovered that only the tomcat family could keep Mrs. Mouse Rinks away. So that's why the nurses carried sons of this family on their laps.
Son of tomcat.
Is this mess in the ballet?
I have never actually seen the ballet.
Me neither.
It is on Netflix.
I'd watch a ballet of this. I don't know about the rest of it.
The actual nutcracker bits. You would watch a ballet about a king throwing a tantrum about sausages.
Yeah.
Would you have ballerinas? We might as well get into discussion because this is as good a stopping point as any.
Sure.
So would you have like ballerinas representing sausages?
Yes. I do not go see ballets unless they have that.
Probably actually a true statement. I don't remember a time that you've been to see a ballet.
I don't know that. I think I did when I was younger.
I was in ballet for 8 years.
I wasn't.
Why would you stop?
There are no sausage parts that interested me.
Want to be in ballet for the last 3 years of that, but I was told.
I mean, why would you stop it? Ballerinas just as sausage. Like, why wouldn't they also be like the wood?
Yeah, you have your sandalwood ballerinas and you have your gold pot ballerina.
You could go even deeper and just have them be the molecules of the fire.
I don't know how ballets work to tell stories because it's not really. Like, as a kid, we just had to try and move in order. And as a kid, I was really bad at that and easily distracted and then would go break out of formation to tell the teacher a random thought in my head. So, like, I'm not really, keyed into the story to ballet process.
I mean, apparently you have about 10 minutes of story that you stretch out to 4.5 hours.
True.
Our ballets... You get someone to eat, like, spicy Thai food, and you put them to bed in a special bed that has, like, a monitor that can read their brain waves, and images from their dreams show up on a big screen, and the dancers just look at that, and they kind of interpret as they go. And then that's this.
So all of the ballerinas are wearing Google Glass.
Yeah, this is a spicy dream.
How can we modernize ballet further? Google Glass is a good start.
It's that.
Can the audience have Google Glasses as like the 3D glasses so that you can see all of the like
why not
animated things going on?
Yeah, you get stats on all the
or subtitles.
Stats on all the dancers.
The ballerinas are CG.
Everything's made up.
But they're also still wearing Google Glass because it is product placement.
It was generated by Google's deep brain alpha whatever. AI just does ballets now.
I would watch an AI rendition of ballet.
Yeah, why not? Just make art for us.
This feels like Google wrote a ballet.
It feels like an AI that's about halfway through its training because spat this out. Just what a lot of these stories sound like is it's got an okay notion of how a story goes. But there's still a lot of weird stuff in there.
Right.
And it is it's pulling things that you can identify from other stories, but
yeah,
it's woven them together barely.
I've seen this before, so I'm going to put it in here, but it doesn't relate to anything.
Well, it feels like it was moving on its way, as it does, just writing the story out. And then it heard somebody say sausage, and it's like, oh, wait, did you say sausage? Here's 62,000 results.
Basically, yes. Do you have anything to round this out?
I do just want to see this king character animated. I want to see a man who vaults over a table.
Because he smells sausage cooking good.
Right. Gets so excited about it, but then doesn't try to steal any of it. Just does one quick stir with his royal scepter that he seems to carry with him everywhere.
That is the downstairs sausage.
Dingus.
It's no other word for the royal scepter.
The god rod. I do not want to hazard any guesses as to what happens because we've actually gotten 5 minutes of story.
You got a lot of backstory.
I'll hazard a guess.
Okay.
The mice get past the cats anyway.
Okay.
That's what I'll say.
Okay.
I mean, it'd be a real bummer if they did all this to just establish there are cats here and the mice never did anything. I'm actually pretty worried about that happening. Little concerned we're never going to hear about mice again in this story. Like, you put all this in here, it needs to pay off somehow.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think's going to happen after the mice pass, the cats?
They're going to cook Pearly Pat into a weird demon sausage.
Delicious. Well, we hope everyone's having a very merry Knifemas, that this gave you some relief if your relatives are stressful to hang out with, or some laughter if your relatives are as cool as you.
Maybe we'll hear about a hard nut next time.
Maybe, yeah. Unfortunately, all of the crimace and nut stuff is in the second half, so that'll be a fun New Year's Day treat for you. So we'll see you on the first day of 2019 with some hard nuts. So thank you to all of our listeners, to Merzi for setting us on the path of the sausage to the hard nut. and to all of our patrons for helping sponsor our show, making 2018 a really great year. It has been a banner year for What the Folklore. We like more than tripled. We did almost like 6 times as much as our previous download numbers.
Yeah, I don't know the exact math, but it's pretty up there.
We have a thriving new Discord. You guys make every day a joy. You are the gift in our lives. So thank you. Thank you, all of you.
You are our mousy relations.
You are the bacon to our sausage.
Thank you to everybody who has been tweeting about the show, tweeting to us, like Mersey. And you know what? Wild Turkey Bourbon used a hashtag that starts with WT. I'm going to count that one. I saw a lot of you today. Yeah, like Cube Wish Spirit, which is the name on the Discord, the Folktale Project. Thank you very much. That helps. That really helps us when you use our hashtag, which is WT Folklore. Helps us spread the word. And just share the show if you enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Monkey King, Tally, Kanky Spanks, Grace, Ambassador of Bus, May the Wheels Never Cease, MC Atnip, Jeremiah, Help, Help, I'm Trapped in a Thank You List Factory. You sure are. Haley, 2600. There are their only thing that Tim wants. 2600. Sure. Dom, Justin, Lily, Jen, Jenna, and Heather, the ghost of Christmas Pluperfect. Piss off, Dickens. Why didn't you think of that?
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Mrs. Mouse Rinks.
Thank you, Mrs. Mouse Rinks.
Pearly Pat.
Pearly Pat.
Terrifying Beast. Thank you, Tetanus.
Thank you, Tetanus.
Thank you, Tetanus.
Thank you, Christmas.
Thank you, Christmas, everyone.
Thank you,
Christmas, all of us.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.